The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say that about 9 out of 10 people who have a cardiac arrest outside of the hospital die. But knowing CPR could help improve that statistic. This is the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Najoe on the Ideas Network. And up next, we're going to be talking about a program that teaches CPR through your cell phones. Our guest is Dr. Carl Black. He is medical director and co-founder at Aiden, which is a chatbot that's designed to help people learn CPR through text messages. His primary professional areas of focus include interventional radiology and neural radiology. Only about half of Americans know CPR. Are you one of them? Has CPR saved you or a loved one's life? What happened? Join the conversation by calling 800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Dr. Carl Black, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. So why are so few people trained on CPR?
Well, it's a great question. You mentioned the statistic of 50% are trained. I would even suggest that it's worse than that, much worse than that, because the 50% that are trained, when they're in a situation where they have to use CPR, I think it's human nature to experience brain freeze. And it's surprising that even if you've taken a class and know the basic steps of CPR, when you're in an emergency situation, that often is useless because your mind will go blank because nerves get in the way.
Or why fear, right? Or fear of doing something wrong. Yeah,
exactly. I just think people don't, they're not either not aware, or perhaps they haven't experienced a personal situation where it's needed. Because I think once you experience a personal situation where it becomes an emotional drive to learn CPR, it takes on new meaning. For example, I'm a physician, obviously, so CPR would have been a basic part of my training early on in medical school and residency and through the whole thing. We have to do that. And even then, we have refresher courses. So professionally, it's internalized in physicians and they and hopefully other first responders. But for the lay public, unless you've had an experience, you may not have the motivation to do it. I'll share one experience that I had that really brought it home to our family. Our daughter was 3 and we were with a group of adults and they were eating pizza. I walk into the room and everybody's panicked around my daughter, and her face is starting to turn a little bit blue. Nobody knows what to do. And so for me, it felt fairly automatic. I just did the basic steps of CPR, which for her was mostly the Heimlich maneuver geared toward her size and her body. And within just a few moments, that pizza, I was able to dislodge that pizza, and then her face pinked up and everybody took a breather. But these were adults who were smart, who were competent. And I think as some of them had CPR, but everyone was standing around wondering, what do we do next? Now, obviously we could have called 911, but that would have been a few minutes. And with every minute that passes and our brain is deprived of oxygen, that can cause serious problems. So for me, that moment highlighted how important CPR is for everyone in our family and every neighbor. How do you save someone's life? Because if you look statistically, if you're going to save someone's life, it's going to be through CPR. You're going to see someone experience cardiac arrest, someone collapse, they could be diabetic, any number of things. And we're all in our lifetime statistically going to witness that. So CPR is vital.
Yes, it is. I know. I didn't take CPR until I had someone that I loved who almost died because of a heart attack. And if there hadn't been someone there that knew CPR, he would have died. And so, and I was amazed at myself. I'm like, why haven't I done this? It's not that big of a time investment or money investment. So, now you came up with this idea of doing CPR training via text messaging. What inspired you to do that?
Great question. So I'm an advocate of medical education in general. One of the challenges we have as medical professionals is applying what we know. And so outside of public health, where CPR lies, we have developed a microlearning environment where we could take basic principles and teach professionals and teach patients. And that was done through a texting platform. Because if you can take a subject that's somewhat complex, you can divide it down into its most basic elements and then feed it to somebody over a period of several days or weeks, you're much more capable of internalizing that and making it part of you and how you think, which is vital in CPR. It has to be second nature. So with that professional background of patient education and professional education, we thought we could do a public health initiative of reinforcing the concepts of CPR. And that's AIDEN. You can see our site by going to AIDEN, AIDENCPR.com. If you download AIDEN or start the bot on your phone, basically you'll go through the elements of CPR that are put out by the American Red Cross or the American Heart Association, but it's done in a microlearning environment where one day you're learning just to be aware of the environment. Is it safe? What happened to that person? Immediately you're going to call for help. It's funny how even those basic things, or what do you want to do to initially check their airway, see if they're breathing, see if they're okay. So AIDEN, on a daily basis for a period of time, about 3 weeks, steps someone through the elements of CPR and reinforces it. It's also fun because scenarios are put out to the person like, okay, you have so-and-so, they have collapsed, no one's around, what do you do? Or another individual, you have about two or three people around, what do you do? So it's different depending on who's with you. So the thought behind the texting is that you create microlearning. Microlearning sticks with you, you can review it, and you reinforce that concept. So it just becomes part of you. It's second nature. Someone collapses, you see someone who's unconscious, you know what to do next.
Well, we have a caller, Dave in Madison, who has experience with this. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I think your promotion of teaching people to do CPR over the telephone is great. I mean, I learned to do it with an app, and it took hardly any time at all. Just really a few minutes. It had a video on it. I watched the video. The video was only a couple minutes, I think. And then I went on to save someone. You know, no pulse for about 2 minutes, and no breathing for about seven. Turned blue, and then after I breathed into her for a while, she turned. You know, she started to change color. I mean, to a normal color, but and then lived, which kind of surprised me actually, because I thought she was going to die. But yeah, all I did was an app, and if I can do it, anyone can do it. I'm not inclined for that kind of thing. And again, you know, it's not that complicated. It's just, you know, breathe into them. You know, how the frequency with which you pump their chest and how hard they pump, you pump their chest. And that's about it, how to check for a pulse. And, yeah, that's about it. And also I have another question about CPR.
Okay, Dave, go ahead.
Well, the other question then is, my understanding is they're teaching people now to not do mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. But without mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, you know, my understanding is after about 2 minutes, the brain starts to be affected, the brain damage, and this was for, you know, went on for, he couldn't breathe for seven, on her own for seven. I mean, I wasn't timing it. This is a rough.
Okay. All right. Well, we're kind of running out of time here before we cut for the news, but Dr. Black, what do you have to say about the mouth-to-mouth resuscitation portion of it?
Yeah. First of all, Dave, congratulations on saving that individual and taking that initiative. So the reason mouth-to-mouth, especially for ages over eight, was taken out of the standard protocol is because people were hesitant. Look through the pandemic we just went through. Everyone's nervous about germs. They're nervous about COVID. They're nervous about other things. And you have a stranger there. There is some hesitancy to go mouth to mouth. And that's understandable. What you'll find is as Dave mentioned, for at least a few minutes, there's enough oxygen in the body already. And chest compression itself will ventilate the lungs. It's not as effective as mouth to mouth. But if you don't feel comfortable doing mouth to mouth, please do chest compressions, about 100 to 120 per minute, 2 inches depth. That will be as important or more important than mouth to mouth. Mouth to mouth without effective chest compressions is not effective. Chest compressions are the most important. And the reason, Dave, is because people were scared. And so people got no help because people didn't want to do mouth to mouth. They thought that was vital of CPR. It's not. It's important. It's an important supplement, but don't let that get in your way.
Okay. Thank you for bringing that up, Dave, and congratulations on looking at that app. Now, yours is a little bit more detailed than the one that Dave looked at, and we'll go into that and get a little bit more information right in just a little bit. But stay on, those who are on the line. We'll be back in about 5 minutes or so. We're talking about the importance of learning CPR with our guest, Dr. Carl Black. He is medical director and co-founder of Aiden. What questions do you have about CPR? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. And like I said, we will be back right after this look at the news. This is the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. We're talking about CPR and a new way of training that's bringing the life-saving procedure right to people's phones. Our guest is Dr. Carl Black. He is medical director and co-founder at Aiden, which is a chatbot that's designed to help people learn CPR through text messages. How did you learn CPR? What questions do you have about performing it? Well, give us a call, 800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. And Dr. Black, let's tell people what Aiden is all about. Describe it a little bit for us.
Aiden is a chatbot that provides a platform of microlearning that will teach and reinforce the principles of CPR over about 13 days. It does it through a combination of reviewing what is found in the American Red Cross or American Heart Association material. What it does also is it provides scenarios of one-person rescue or two-person rescue. The whole idea behind Aiden is to try to take away the nerves, because it's not necessarily just whether you have the cognitive ability to learn CPR. CPR is basic. I think the American Heart Association has done a tremendous job in making this material simple. It's nerves. I'm telling you, it's a scenario when you're around a group of people, someone's collapsed in front of you. First of all, who's going to take charge? Who's going to take the initiative? And it's amazing how panic sets in and all of a sudden everybody's brains go blank. So the idea behind Aiden, take out the nerves, make that material accessible. Everybody can stay calm and you can save a life. That's the idea behind Aiden.
Okay. And now just to get this straight, it isn't that you use this app when someone has a cardiac arrest, correct?
You do not use this app when somebody has cardiac arrest. You don't use anything. That's the thing, is you don't have time to reach into your pocket and grab a little post-it note or look it up on the internet. It's not like that. That's why CPR training is two levels. It's one, it's knowing what to do, and two, having clarity in your mind just to act. And there is not time to go search. The other thing we probably ought to emphasize is in CPR that the first thing you do is make sure that the scene is safe. If somebody's near auto traffic, get them out of the way. If they've fallen, if you're worried about there's an electrical hazard or a water hazard, make sure people are safe. The second thing is, if you're one person, leave the scene and go call 911. If you have hopefully you have a cell phone, you can do it right there, but you have to activate 911 first and foremost. If you have two people, send one person to do 911 while you stay and start CPR.
Okay. Well, Matt in Waukesha has been waiting for a little bit. Thank you, Matt, for waiting. Tell us about your experience with CPR.
Thank you. I've had actually two experiences where I've had to use CPR, and the latter one more recently, just this summer, was very similar to what the guest just described. First off, I learned, I think everybody has a little bit in their high school health class, but I learned the stuff that stuck with me most was from basic training from the Army National Guards. And I know it's changed a little bit here and there, but the first experience I had with this was after I was an audience member at a theater performance, and somebody, I assume it was a heart attack, but somebody needed help. And nobody was helping, so I was like, well, I'm going to do what I remember. And yeah. somebody else then joined in and helped, and we were doing, at this point, I think we were doing like about like 15 to 2 chest compressions to breaths. We just kept going until the paramedics got there. It felt like it took forever. And then when I saw the paramedics take over, I saw how much more physically aggressive they were, especially with the compressions. And that stuck with me so that this summer when I saw a gentleman just on his back, his lawnmower like off, just right next to the road, and when I pulled up, I didn't even know if he was with us or not yet at this point. And I first thing I did is I called 911, like you said just now, because I knew he needed somebody to come here and help beyond what I could do. And then one of the neighbors had come across the street, and then the 911 operator was very good about giving us kind of the updated coaching on what to do and, you know, the compressions. And I took over on compressions, and it sounds like it's kind of a weird way to say it, but I figured I couldn't make things worse, and I definitely tried giving much more forceful compressions after the experience with the theater-going experience. That person did not make it. This person, they did end up getting, they had to use the defibrillators and the ambulance. They did get a pulse back, sent him to the hospital. And I'm not 100% sure, but I think, because I drive this route a lot, I think I've seen him up on his feet since then.
Oh, well, thank you for sharing that, Matt. What do you have to say about that, Dr. Black?
Well, Matt, Matt's obviously experienced two instances where what he learned in the National Guard, and thank you, Matt, I served in the Air Force. Thank you for your service. But that all of a sudden it becomes real. Once you've experienced this and you felt the emotion tied to this, it gets embedded. And it's very interesting that Matt highlights the aggressive nature of first responders. Chest compressions are key. It's 2 inches depth. And now we've simplified things because it used to be the 15 to two, it's all 30 to two now because we don't want to have different numbers. It's 100 to 120 chest compressions per minute. That's about the rate. It's got the tempo of Staying Alive, that song, if you ever want to keep that in your mind. But it's got that tempo and you want to take 30 chest compressions to 2 breaths. If you choose not to take the breaths, forego the breaths and keep the chest compressions. But Matt, you're absolutely spot on. Chest compressions are key. It's going to be more aggressive than you think. You put your 2 hands in the middle of the chest and go 2 inches depth at that rate.
Okay, thank you so much, Matt, for sharing that. Let's go to Michelle in Evansville with a comment. Hi, Michelle.
Good afternoon. I wanted to share my experience learning CPR as a teen. They had the Recessa Annie that was computerized, and it produced like an EKG-type strip out the side. And in order to be certified, you had to be exact with compressions, timing, how strong the breath was you were putting in. And if you didn't do a complete, like, 5 minutes perfect strip, you failed the course. Luckily, my friends and I were motivated and, you know, tried often until we were able to produce a perfect strip. So I'm so happy. It's like, since I've been, you get recertified, it's a lot easier now than it was back then.
Thanks, Michelle. Yeah, she's right. It's not that difficult to get certified, is it, Dr. Black?
No, it's not. And I think you bring up a really important point. The difference between certification when you're training is you want to achieve perfection. Good chest compressions. You want to pause long enough that you're going to see the chest rise after your 2 breaths, that you understand what that monitor's looking at when you're looking at the EKG, where you know how to apply an AED. Let me just say this, though, that if you're obsessed about perfection, and I don't want to discount what the previous caller just said, doing anything is better than nothing. Trust me on this. By making sure the scene is safe, calling 911 and immediately getting an AED. That's the other thing. Send someone to get 911, but in most public places now, there's an AED. I would just be interested in what the callers think about when they see an AED. I'll tell you, most people are intimidated. They don't want to pull it out of the box. They see it on the wall, they're scared of it. AED is very important. When you see someone collapse, statistically, there's a high probability they're going to be in what's called ventricular fibrillation. Their heart's not going to be beating efficiently, very rapid. It needs to be defibrillated or shocked back into a normal rhythm. AED, 911 AED, but doing nothing doing it imperfectly is better than perfection when you slow things down. When you're in training, yes, strive for perfection.
Okay.
I've had to use it twice. My experience twice, unfortunately, neither person survived, but the effort was there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. We appreciate that. So let's talk about, number one, to explain what a chat bot is. That's C-H-A-T-B-O-T, in case somebody listening is not familiar with what that means.
Well, chatbot is a broad term where you basically have a programmatic interaction with somebody through texting. All of us are getting texts now. You'll get a text from your dental office saying you have an appointment tomorrow at 8 a.m. There's that level of chatbot that simply is a reminder. The chatbot that we have is more programmatic, and depending on someone's responses, for example, when you're using aid in CPR, if you answer a question incorrectly, the chatbot will circle back and dish up that information to you again and then re-ask you. So there's, in our chatbot, it's very interactive, but it allows you to programmatically through two or three messages a day learn something. Chatbots, I think, are going to be used with increasing frequency. It's very interesting. In medicine, we thought that video conferencing was going to be the end-all, be-all. A lot of people don't want to be on a video, but they do like to have a texting environment. So we've made a lot of applications for basic medical conditions. For example, when a woman is pregnant, especially for the first time, we have a chatbot that takes them through 9 months of pregnancy in each trimester, and the chatbot can anticipate, hey, in the second trimester, you may feel this, you may be experiencing this in anticipation. And depending on their responses, then the chatbot will customize additional information. It reduces the number of calls made to an office, and it also improves care. We've done it with rheumatoid arthritis. We've done it with joint replacement surgery. But with CPR especially, it allows someone to day by day be thinking about this. Because if for 13 days, somebody could just remind you, hey, remember, you got to call 911. Here's how you apply the AED. Don't be afraid of perfection. Just get going. Hey, chest compressions are 2 inches. Think about all these pearls over 13 days. Then you own it. You have it. That's the beauty of a chatbot.
And I agree with you so much, because taking that CPR course, I felt a little overwhelmed, and how in the world am I going to remember this? And
yeah.
I would, you know, think 3 or 4 days later, it's like, it is a little overwhelming. And just as a thing, AEDs are actually pretty darn easy, because they tell you what to do.
They do. But for some reason, people are intimidated to grab the AED.
Yes, take it off the wall. It's amazing how simple it is to operate. So let's go to another caller. We've got Marion in Crystal Lake, Illinois. Hi, Marion.
Hi there. My experience, one of our children stopped breathing when he was about 4 weeks old. He had premature apnea bradycardia, and I resuscitated him courtesy of Girl Scouts, who taught me mouth-to-mouth resuscitation when I was 11 or 12. We rushed him to the hospital, and he was in the hospital for a couple of weeks in the pediatric ICU, but he is just fine now.
Well, great. Thank you, Marion. And let's go right to Mark and Bloomer before we comment on that, Dr. Black. Hi, Mark.
Hey, my friend. For all the bad press that they seem to get these days, I will put up a shout-out for all the Boy Scouts out there. We get Scout Life magazine every month with Scouts in Action, saving people's lives, teaching first aid and CPR. My boys, my daughter, they're learning it all the time.
Okay.
So all those scouts out there are going to save your life someday, folks.
Excellent. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate that. So kids can learn it. Adults certainly can too, right?
Yeah, my early introduction to CPR was definitely Boy Scouts. I got my Eagle Scout, but I remember when I was 10, I started learning CPR. You know, Marion's example is just really emotional to me. I can relate to her. And Marianne, I don't know whether you heard my example of saving my daughter's life, but once that happens to you, you understand the importance of it. And I'll tell you, anyone who had an emotional connection to CPR, it gets burned into your brain. But we need a way to figure that out before somebody has that experience. And you know, thank heavens Marianne was there and she was equipped to just act.
Yeah, for sure. And to remember that so many years later.
So after the Girl Scouts. Yep. That's awesome.
That is awesome. So where can we get the program, the AIDEN program? And just so people know, it's AIDEN. How do we get
And then add CPR to that. So AIDEN CPR, okay. All one word, .com. You can go there, purchase the chat bot. It's basically what you're purchasing is access to the chat bot for a period of time where you can use it, you can reuse it. There is also so there's a single purchase and then there's a, you know, family or group purchase. I personally think that as parents, if you have kids, it's just common sense. Teach your kids CPR. If you are involved in the community in any way, if you have an organization, whether it's Girl Scouts, whether it's at your place of worship, whether it's a community event, make a part of it. You can actually have fun. And AIDEN can help make it a fun for you. And so basically, it doesn't replace the basic training. You could still have someone come in with a dummy and you could practice chest compressions. But to reinforce that, AIDEN will take it to next level. It will become part of you. And so it's AIDENCPR.com.
And the cost is really low, isn't
it? Oh, yeah. The cost is like $6 for an individual user. And I think for 10 people, about $50, it is well worth it.
And wouldn't it be interesting for someone who wants their family to learn to say, hey, instead of a birthday present this year, take this course.
Great idea.
And there you go. Pretty inexpensive birthday gift too. So maybe get them something else. But but I mean, that's a good way to do it with friends and you get group support.
Yeah.
So that's something to think about. If you've got a question or experience with this, give us a call, 800-642-1234. Or you can send an email, ideas@wpr.org. So we were talking earlier that people get intimidated by this whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
But are there mistakes that people make other than not doing it?
Well, you already highlighted the biggest mistake is because people feel like, oh, you know, I'm not equipped to do this. And so they become scared, paralyzed. They wait for somebody else to do it. And it's surprising, even in a large group, how very few people are willing to step up. I like the example of your one caller when they were in a theater. And everyone's standing around. I remember when I was going to medical school, I was on the subway in DC and somebody collapsed in the subway. And I was a second year medical student. And everybody just stood around.
Yeah.
And so I had just been reviewing it. So I was able to step in and help. But that's with hundreds of people around and everybody stares. So you know what? Don't be worried about making a mistake. In fact, there are laws to protect that. But the odds of you doing something that actually harms the patient are minimal or harms the individual. You need to act and get the AED. So 911, get the AED as soon as possible. People are intimidated to use AED because you do have to take someone's shirt off because the pads on the AED have to go directly on the skin. Now, that could be a little bit weird if somebody has a hairy chest. They do. A lot of the AED things have a shaver.
They
so
do.
Yeah. But there could be other issues with, you know, exposing someone's chest. I think we all get it that you're invading someone's space. But if you save someone's life, believe me, they're not going to be worried about that.
That's right. That's right. And as a woman, if you want to do that to save me, it's okay. I have no problem with that. And there's some tricks and things that people, when you take the class, that you'll be appraised of too. So let's go over the basic things right now that people can do if they see someone who may be having cardiac arrest.
Yeah, great.
How
okay,
do you so, know, so number for, one?
Well, your one caller, he was driving by and saw somebody with the mower off to the side and he's on the sidewalk. So right now, you most of the time, you know something's up. You're always better off calling 911. Who cares if you get to them and they decided to take a nap and look weird like that? You know what? If you called 911 and it was by mistake, no big deal. And no one's going to blame you for that. So first and foremost, make sure the scene is safe. Look around. What happened to that individual? Get them and yourself out of harm's way. You don't want to have two victims. Next, if you're even if you have any suspicion at all that this person needs CPR, get 911. If somebody's with you, you send them to get 911. Next, you'll want to just go up to them. Ask them if they're okay. In a loud voice, are you okay? If they don't respond, okay, something's up. They're either having a stroke. They maybe if they're diabetic, their blood sugar is off. Maybe they're in ventricular fibrillation. You won't know that unless you have an AED. And if you're out in, you know, if you're driving in your car, most likely you're not going to have an AED. But you'll want, and then you can actually listen for breaths. You can put your ear down by their mouth or check a pulse. Now, the problem with checking a pulse is sometimes you can be wrong because pulses can be very faint. And depending on someone's body habitus, you know, the way they're built, it may be difficult to pick up a pulse. So let's say they did have a pulse and you started CPR. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. If they're not responding to you and you are comfortable that you've shaken them, you've done verbal and you've provided a stimulus to them and not responding, start CPR. 911's been called. If you have two people, someone's out, someone else, as soon as they've called 911, they're searching for an AED. You immediately start your chest compressions. If you're going to do mouth to mouth, you'll give two quick breaths and just see if their lungs rise. Because if their lungs rise, that means their airway doesn't have an obstruction in it. And two quick breaths is nice. And then you start your chest compressions. If you're dealing with somebody who's young, like an infant, on mouth to mouth, you're putting your mouth over their nose and their mouth. That's a little subtle change. But other than that, it's very the same. The chest compressions aren't going to be as aggressive. And I think, you know, infant CPR is there definitely are some nuances. For example, instead of a full hand with two hands, it will be just two fingers. Right, exactly. You sound like you've done the CPR class. In someone who's around 8, it might just be one hand and maybe one, you know, 1 to 2 inches. And then an adult, it's full. It's going to be harder in an adult to get chest compressions because of the resistance in the chest. Don't be afraid about, if you happen to hear a rib crack, you know, if you feel like something, that's okay. Ribs can heal. And then you just continue that, because by the time the first, and one of your callers, I think it might've been Matthew, was talking about, it seemed like forever before the first responder got there. Yeah, these are some of the longest minutes you're ever gonna experience. That's okay, just keep it up. If you're with two people, trade back and forth so that you can do chest compressions.
Okay.
One thing that'll keep you from wearing out is to straighten your arm a little bit so that you're not, your elbows aren't bent.
Oh, and so you're using your shoulders. Yeah. Responders. Okay. Well, great. Thank you so much for being with us. And a reminder that the app, you would go to Aiden, AIDENCPR.com, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Dr. Black. We really appreciate that. Yeah. We've been talking about the importance of learning CPR with our guest, Dr. Carl Black. He's a medical director and co-founder of Aiden. Hopefully you can join us tomorrow. We'll talk about geography of Wisconsin and how to help migrating birds. I'm Jill Nadeau, sitting in for Larry Mueller.